Welcome to EMP this morning. Let's open our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 14, and we're going to look at one verse, verse 4. Proverbs 14, 4. And let's pray this morning. Lord, we invite you here in this place. We thank you for a brand new morning. We thank you for the potential that you have for us. And we thank you that you give us grace. Lord, give us an understanding of your word today. Father, we ask for just wisdom. And God, would you shape our lives, shape our hearts, form our thoughts. God, we just want to fix our eyes upon you this morning, and we just bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just want to look at one verse, Proverbs 14:4. In the NASB it says, "Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox." Interesting verse. It's a verse that you probably need to read a few times to sort of have it sink in your spirit. Where no oxen are, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes by the strength of the ox. It's sort of an obscure verse. I don't know if there are many sermons preached on it, but as I was going through devotional, I came across this verse, and it was really challenging for me because I felt like when you're going through something and you read Scripture, there are certain things that will stand out. And I think this is one of those things where it stood out because I was going through this and the Scripture began to illuminate it about myself. So here, this verse is describing the tension between having a clean barn, or manger as it's translated here, a very clean barn, or the opposite, having it filled with oxen. And it talks about the benefits of having ox in the barn. And so the reason why this is significant for at least myself, and hopefully it'll speak to a lot of us here listening, is that there's a tension in our lives sometimes between wanting to have a clean barn where there's no drama, no problems, no difficulties, no challenges, and we're proud to show off that clean barn. We've worked so hard to have a clean barn. We've done everything we can to have a clean barn. And then the opposite is a barn full of oxen. And if you know anything about oxen are quite smelly. You have to take care of them. You have to feed them. You have to fence them in so they don't wander off. Things like that, and it's hard to control sometimes. You know, it's just a big mess when you have lots of oxen in your barn. And so for me, it was kind of like one of those "would you rather" questions that you get at house church. You know, would you rather in a deserted island with a best friend, or would you rather be in paradise with someone who you don't like? You kind of have to weigh the pros and cons. Would you rather have this or would you rather have that? And in your mind, you think, well, you know, I'd rather be in paradise with someone I don't like because at least I can ignore that person, tolerate that person, but I'll be in paradise. Or the other side is, I'd rather be in a deserted island where there's nothing except my best friend or something like that. It really demonstrates the values that you have in life. If you value relationships and friendships and connection in that way, you'll pick the deserted island. But if you value sort of the environment and the circumstances and just nice things, then you'll pick that. And so here's another tension because, between the two, would you rather have a very clean, nice and tidy barn, or would you rather have a barn filled with oxen and made, lots of messy things? And once again, it sort of speaks to what you value. Well, how do you know, what to value? Well, in this example, you have to figure out, well, what is the reason for the barn? What is the purpose of the barn? What are you trying to accomplish to the barn? In fact, this idea, and I love passages where it gives you an image of what life is supposed to be like. Think about a very clean barn. You know, where all the hay is supposed to be where it is. And, you know, obviously we live in a city, and so, we're not very familiar with barns and animals and farm animals and things like that. Excuse me. But in ancient days, just think of the clean barn, where everything, all the tools are in its place, all the equipment is in its place, and all the hay is in this place, and the floor, there's nothing on the floor, it's spick and span. And everything is shining, and it's just spotless, and you invite people to come over to see how wonderful your barn is. Maybe you renovate your barn to just beautiful new renovations and things like that, and everything is brand new and clean, and you invite people, and you're excited about that. If you were back in ancient days and you had a barn like that, people would look at that and think you were just ridiculous. Because the purpose of a barn is to have oxen, is to store hay, is to produce crops. It's to hold those things. That's the purpose of it. And in order to do that, you need oxen. You need ox to do the work. And so this verse talks about the benefits of having much strength in an ox, or much revenue in an ox. The symbolism of an ox, it's interesting that the ox is brought up in Scripture a lot, and there's symbolism in an ox in Scripture. One thing it describes or symbolizes what it means to be a servant, because an ox, they do things that humans cannot do or won't do. You know, they plow the fields, they prepare the soil for crops, they're used to grind grain into flour. They're used to draw large amounts of water from the well back in ancient times. Basically, it was used for things that was too difficult for humans to do. And so the ox always represented power and productivity. And so our proverb here reminds that there is much increase or much revenue by the strength of an ox. It was the equivalent to a tractor. It was equivalent to a bulldozer. It was equivalent to an electric motor, all wrapped up in one package. And if that wasn't enough, an ox was good enough for liquid capital. You could sell a really strong, productive ox. And so for me, as we go through this, I want us to reflect over and over again on this verse. And I believe that you can think about your own life. And I believe that this verse can sort of cut through into the heart of your thought processes and your heart in terms of the way you want to live life. We can also expand the application to church. There's always this tension of outreach versus inreach. Do we want a clean church? And in order to have a clean church, we're going to need to exclude dirty things. We can't possibly invite homeless people to our beautiful sanctuary because they're going to mess it up. We can't invite children into our sanctuary because they're loud and obnoxious and they're disruptive and they distract. We've got to have a clean church. And so we can expand the application to church. We can't have people with diseases and sickness and ailments and things like that because we want a clean church. We want to have a church where we can show the world, look how clean we are. Look how beautiful we are. Look how wonderful we are. Or we can go back to the purpose of this church, of this sanctuary. Is it a place where we can heal those who are sick? We can open blinded eyes? Is it a place where we can minister to the poor, to those who are the least, the lost, the last? If that's the case, then yeah, it's going to be messy. It's going to be dirty. Many of us who are singles, some of us, we want to stay single because we look at married couples, and man, married couples have so many problems. It's like, why would I want to be married? I look at all the married couples that I know, and it's just so much drama and so many problems. Or maybe you're married, and you don't want to have kids because you look at other people's kids. Like, oh man, I can't do that. I can't, have no sleep, and all the whining, and all the crying, and all the poopy diapers, and all these things, and all these things, and maybe that's what you're thinking. Well, then maybe your heart and your attitude is, I just want a clean barn. I just want to live my life in such a clean way. Now, this is not an indictment against cleanliness. It's not an indictment against organization. It's not an indictment against, being clean and things like that. That's not it. This is sort of giving us the tension between having a clean barn and having oxen in that barn. And I was struck because I feel like this is where I'm going through personally, and maybe I thought I'd share it because maybe it speaks to someone here. Maybe in this journey of life, we must realize that the things that are worth having are messy. The things worth pursuing, the things that are worth following Christ, having a relationship, being in a relationship with Him, may not be so clean after all. In fact, the greatest symbol of our walk in Christ is the cross, and the cross is anything but clean. And so I want us maybe to meditate this morning about this verse, and I'll read it one more time. Where there's no oxen, the manger is clean, but much revenue comes from the strength of the ox. Just maybe one final example is that there's been tensions in sort of people who see homeless people and want to do something for them, and the tension behind, should I do something for them? Should I, in fact, even invite them into my own home? And most people will say no because I don't want my home to be defiled. And if you look at what would Christ do and the call of Christ and the way of Christ, that's something that sort of strikes at the heart of the call of a Christian. Now, I'm not saying that all of us, we need to invite homeless people into our homes and have them live with them. There's certain uses of wisdom that we need to sort of use. But I'm just challenged by this one verse. Where there's no oxen, the manger is clean. Absolutely, absolutely. But much revenue comes from the strength of the ox. I look at children, my own child, maybe future children, and if I could be perfectly honest, I'm a bit frightful of having multiple kids, because then I anticipate my life will be totally out of control. Two, three, four, five kids in my house. Oh my goodness, I need Jesus. But if you have a bigger perspective, if you have a God perspective, the Bible says that children are a blessing from the Lord. At this moment, I seem to disagree. I can't see that. But if you ask anybody with multiple children, they'll absolutely agree. Yeah, children are a blessing from the Lord. And I'm in a place where, man, it's just going to ruin my life. It's going to mess with my life. I'm going to have more oxen in my barn. And I realize that, man, maybe it's because I want my barn to be clean. And as I read this, it's like, man, maybe it's better to have a messier barn where the fruit of those ox, the fruit of that kind of messy life. Because when you have more oxen, you have more crops, and you have more productivity, and you have more work done, and it's just more revenue. It's just more revenue. But yeah, you have to take care of these ox. You have to take care of them when they're sick. You have to take care of this mess. But maybe the Lord is calling me to look back at the purpose of my barn. And in this case, the barn is my life. I have one barn. I have one life. I can either live a life of cleanliness in terms of the drama and messiness of life, or I can pursue the things of God. And along the way might be messy, but there is going to be productivity and revenue. So I want you to meditate on that this morning. Let's bow our heads. Where are you in contrast or in consistency with this proverb? Personally, I believe that this proverb doesn't need that much explanation or description or description. I think as you just meditate on it, I think the Lord will speak to you. terms of where your heart is at. Because of the mess created by the symbolic oxen, it'll mean we need patience. It'll mean we need long suffering. It'll mean we need a good sense of humor many times. Definitely tons of grace, tons of forgiveness. The grace to love the unlovable. We need the Holy Spirit's guidance. And we need the agape love of Jesus. And so maybe it's worth having an oxen or two. So I invite you to open your heart this morning. Ask the Lord to open your heart. Search me and know me, Lord. You know my ways. Let's sing the song together.
I love you. Your word is a lamp to my feet, and Jesus, I love you. I love you, and Jesus, I love you. I love you, and Jesus, I love you. I love you.
Before we go into our community prayers, I just want to give you just a moment to meditate on this proverb. Invite the Holy Spirit to speak and to examine your heart. So we'll take a long moment to just meditate on that before we go into community prayer. May the Lord show us that the mess that we're in is the very thing that gives life its life. That through it, the Lord will extend an incredible abundance of grace. That He will mold you into His likeness. That one day you will be a reflection of Jesus. And that it will be all worth it. That what you are going through is worth the messiness, for there is great revenue that comes through the strength of what you're going through, of what you have. Lord, we just pray, God, that you just reveal to us how ridiculous it is to strive to keep our house clean for cleanliness sake, but to, Lord, to invite relationships, to invite people, to invite the things that you want to accomplish through us. We thank you, Lord, for your word. In Jesus' name. Let's take this time to pray for those who are sick and ill and with cancer. And let's ask the Lord in faith to extend His healing grace upon them. And so let's pray for them by name, and let's lift them up and ask the Lord to bring healing in Jesus' name. Let's pray. pray for those who don't know the Lord yet, but have cancer, and let's ask the Lord to heal them. Let's ask the Lord to open their eyes, as Pastor Solomon had talked about. Ask the Lord to open their eyes, and let's pray for their salvation. Let's pray for those with other infirmities and sicknesses and illnesses, and ask the Lord to be with them, to strengthen them, to heal them. Let's ask the Lord. Some of them need a long-term help, and so let's continue to lift them up in prayer through this difficult process. So let's pray for them. Let's lift up those who need jobs, and let's ask the Lord to open doors. Let's ask for interviews and ask the Lord for favor over them. So let's pray. Let's pray and lift them up. Let's pray for our mission focus this morning, and let's pray for China, and lift up SP Beijing, for the Chong family, for Matt and Nate's parents, Boss Rabba's, Leanne and Edie, Chichihar kids, and let's pray for the churches. So just lift up China and all our ministries that we support, and ask the Lord to do incredible things as He moves through China. Pray for our SP staff, and ask the Lord to bring unity and to give grace and strength and wisdom, and So let's lift up our staff. Pray for their families. Just pray for their futures. And let's lift them up right now. Let's lift up the worship team and ask the Lord to anoint them, to empower them, to use them, to lead our congregation into worship in the presence of God. Pray for the AV team. Pray for the equipment that there would be no malfunctions. And so let's lift up the worship team and the AV team. Let's pray for our house churches meeting today for Bonham, Kennedy, Kowloon, LKF, and Old Peak Road. Let's ask the Lord to use these meetings to bless one another, to serve one another, to encourage one another, to lift up one another. And so let's pray for these house churches. That'll be a powerful, wonderful time. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your presence, Lord, and we want to be close to you, want to hold you close in our hearts as we go forward. Lord, we ask, God, that your Spirit would lead us and guide us, be with our thoughts, be with our decisions. God, I pray that you'd open our hearts, expand our capacity to love, expand our capacity to handle the circumstances of our lives. Expand it, Lord. And God, we pray that we go in the power of the Holy Spirit today. We lift up your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.